We'll call this meeting to order. Start with roll call. Don Mansour here. Thomas Ambrose. Nicholas Cohen.
Here.
George Ellis.
Here.
Mary Good.
Here.
Cedric Iver. Sharon.
Here.
At this time, we will ask for the approval of the minutes of the meeting of April 26, 2022. Motion been made and second to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
At this time, we'll give you an overview of the hearing.
He's requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone the 4.5 acre tract of land from PD Land Development to B4 Wholesale Business District. This property had been zoned B4 before it was rezoned to a PD district in 2020 to have a CBD oil production company on site along with the excavation company, but that never came to fruition. So now they're wanting to just rezone back to what it had been before. There are not seeing violations and no opposition has been expressed. Any questions from the board? Okay, the next one is U220029, petitioners Steve Taylor and Caitlin Bryan. The subject property is located at 57 Odom Drive in Collinsville, County Board District 25, and it's zoned R3 Small Community Residential, and it's a half acre in size. They are requesting a special use permit to have bees, two goats, and chickens on the property, as well as a variance to have 10 chickens instead of the maximum 5 allowed. Staff has received a letter of opposition and an opposition petition from the neighbors with 30 signatures on it. There are no outstanding violations on the property, and there are proposed conditions of approval if the ZBA votes to approve the request. Any questions from the board? It's to have 10 chickens instead of 5. Okay. The next one is C220030, petition of McBride. The subject property is located at 10115 Marine Road, Marine County Road District 4, and he's in the Tokyo District. He is requesting a special use permit to place a mobile home on site for the occupancy of Nick Bryan's family for a period not to exceed 5 years. Staff has received two letters of opposition to the request, which I forwarded you guys this morning. There's no outstanding violation on the property, and we have proposed the usual conditions of approval for mobile homes if the ZBA was to approve the request. Questions from the board?
I have one question. Was there an opposition to the chicken one?
Yeah, there is a letter of opposition and a petition.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. The next one is Z220032, petition Mark and Don Sanders. The subject property is located at 8411 Steelcrest Lane in Troy, County Board District Number 2, and is zoned R3 Single Family Residential. They are requesting a variance to construct an attached garage addition to the existing home that would be 2 feet from the east property line instead of the required 10 feet. The applicants also did provide a letter from the adjacent property owners on the east side giving their support of the variance request. There are not any violations and no opposition was expressed. Questions? Yeah. The next one is U220033, petition of James Radcliffe. The subject property is located at 2635 Staunton Road in Troy, County Board District 24, and is under R1 Single Family Residential. He's requesting a variance to construct an accessory structure in the front yard setback area. The applicant stated that this is the best building location due existing power lines and a well on the property. There are not any violations, and no opposition was expressed. Questions? Okay. Next one is Z22-0044, petition of Daniel Trask. The subject property is located at 1930 Roberta Avenue, Granite City, Hindenburg District 21, and is zoned R3 single-family residential. She's requesting a special use permit to place a mobile home on site for the occupancy of Daniel Trask, Joey Muscarola, and family for a period not to exceed 5 years. The applicant stated that she wants to place a mobile home here to help take care of her father, who lives in the house across the street from this property. Staff has received 4 letters of opposition to the request, and no outstanding violations, and we have proposed the usual conditions of approval for mobile homes if the ZBA votes to approve. Any questions?
Are there any mobile homes in that neighborhood? I tried to look that up, but
no,
I couldn't find
any.
No modulars either?
No modulars.
I got a quick question.
This is just for the board.
Oh.
It's, we'll have a public comment later on. Okay. The next one is 822-0035, petition of Colby Trump and Fire Properties of Highland LLC. The subject property is located along Ellis Road in St. Jacob, County Board District Number 4, and zoned into General Manufacturing District. They are requesting a special use permit to construct a helicopter hangar and heliport on site. The applicant stated the property will be used to perform maintenance on St. Joseph's Hospital helicopter and for storage of the helicopter during inclement weather. There are not standing violations, no opposition has been expressed, and we do have proposed conditions of approval if the ZBA votes to approve the request. Any questions?
Is there a
Yes, so they've been in contact with IDOT and the FAA. I don't think they've heard back from the FAA yet, but they have heard back from IDOT, and that letter is in the packet.
So if we were to approve it, it wouldn't be
really
finalized
still. Right, so the special use permit would be approved, but they couldn't actually begin construction and have the teleport and all that until they get approval from the FAA. Any other questions? And the last one is Z22-0037, petitioner Andrew Jones Jr., Southwestern Electric Cooperative Inc. The subject property is located at 4772 State Route 4 in Alhambra, County Board District Number 4, and is zoned agricultural. They are requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone the half acre property from agricultural to PZ Plan Development District in order to operate a Bitcoin mining operation in conjunction with the existing electrical substation on site. So they will be adding 4 storage containers to the property and a fenced in area adjacent to the substation that would house the Bitcoin mining equipment. There are not any violations, no opposition has been expressed, and the proposed district condition to use for the Plan Development District are listed in attachment and in the packets. Any questions?
Are there any other of these in the county at all?
No.
Is this the first
this
time?
The first time. Yeah.
Are there anywhere that you're aware of in surrounding counties? Because I've never really heard of this. I'm sure they're out there, but I don't. Bond County?
Yeah, I think they were trying to do some bonds.
And then that's the closest one to here?
Don't they have some kind of station just north of Hamel?
Bitcoin mining.
Bitcoin.
Oh, no.
It's not solar. This is Bitcoin.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think so. This would be the first one in the county.
Oh, okay. Huh. Is it regulated by anyone? I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah,
I don't
like
really know anything
he'll
about
speaking.
It.
He'll be speaking, yeah. We'll have
okay.
him explain
okay.
it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
almost into tail. Any other questions?
If not,
At this time, before we start the hearing, each hearing will be conducted in agenda order. I will open the hearing by reading the legal notices. Once the notice is read, the petitioner will address the zoning board to explain what is being requested and why. Once the petitioner has addressed the board, board members will have the opportunity to ask any questions they have for the petitioner. After that, any members of the public wishing to speak on the hearing at hand may do so. Please state your name once you get to the mic and direct your comments to the zoning board or department staff, not to other people in the room. If you are here to speak on behalf of a hearing that has already taken place for another zoning issue, you may address the zoning board during the agenda item, citizens wishing to address the Zoning Board of Appeals. Staff will read aloud any comments that were submitted to the staff members prior to this meeting to be read for the record. Everyone is entitled to have comments for up to 3 minutes. Now, at this time, I'd like to swear everyone in for the meeting with all staff members and anyone who wishes to speak tonight. Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Let the record show that all meeting attendees are sworn in. We will start the first hearing now. The file Z22-0027, petition of Mike Moniger Excavating, Incorporated, owner of record, requesting a zoning map amendment in order to rezone a 4.54-acre tract of land from PD Plan Development District to B4 Wholesale Business District. This is located in Fort Russell Township at 5965 State Route 140, Morrow, Illinois, County Board District Number 5. Published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on May 9, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. At this time, would applicant please address the board? Okay. No statements. This hearing is closed. Does anyone have any comments to that, since there's not a rep here? If not, the hearing's closed. File Z22-0029, petition of Stephen Taylor and Caitlin Bryan, owner of record, requesting a special use permit as per 93.025, Section G, Item 18 and 20 of the Madison County Zoning Ordinances, in order to keep bees, two goats, and chickens on site, and a variance in order to have 10 chickens instead of the maximum of 5 allowed. This is located in an R3 single family residential district in Collinsville Township at 57 Odom Drive, Collinsville, Illinois, County Board District Number 25. Published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on May 9, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Will applicant please address the board?
Yes, sir. This is me and my wife, Caitlin. We live at this
property. Speak right into the mic so everybody can hear you.
I'm so sorry. Is that
no,
better, sir?
No problem.
Yes, sir. My wife and I bought this property November 2019, and we have both come together in a nice motion that we have begun gardening for ourselves and be more self-sufficient, self-proficient, to where we have potential ideas to start a business for ourselves and sharing different products and produce with our family, but nonetheless teaching different friends and family members about different plant husbandry and potentially now some animal work. We would like to further our knowledge here, if at all possible, on a smaller scale. We absolutely know we're not in rural part or section of the county, but we would like to have this opportunity, if at all possible, to continue our learning process.
Any other speakers in favor? If not, anyone having an objection? All right. Let's start right here. You.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, excellent. Hi. I sent in a petition, and we sent in emails this property adjoins my property in the back. What separates us is the fence. This property is a continuous downhill run that we're already seeing erosion from the property onto our property from. There's no viable flat land for animals on that property, and I worry about the excessive erosion, runoff, and where that animal feces is going to go. That's going to go into my yard. And that. I also worry about the value of my property. It will decrease the value of my property having this basically in my backyard, to say. It also, I feel, since we're in an R3 zone, that's a subdivision. That's not farmland. And that will downplay not just my property, but the whole property in that whole area. It's a very cute, clean, well-kept kind of little subdivision, and as far as I know, everyone in our whole area is opposed to this. And, I mean, I don't...
We have some objections.
I sent in the documents, so I'm sorry. I'm opposed.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. This house sits at a T. And
please speak it right into the mic.
I don't know what the microphone is working. Is that better? This property sits at a T where you come in off of like a almost a one block road, which is named Orchid to Odom Drive. The individuals who reside in the residence, they don't utilize their driveway. They have multiple vehicles already parked in front of the residence. They do auto maintenance on their vehicles in front of it. It isn't what we consider a well-kept. They have gardening in their front yard. I understand that there's a possibility that they may want to sell their eggs or whatever they reap from their animals. We're not set up for that. They've already demonstrated that the property isn't well kept at this point. What's going to happen when they add goats, chickens? In the letter it said bees. It's a great concern.
State your name too, please.
My name is Jody Bundock.
My name is Elizabeth Busselton. I own a lot across the street from the property in question. Currently, the lot, the front of their home is very unsightly. They do have multi-vehicles parked in the front yard, and they also have gardening that's just taken over the front yard. We have to see that. They've driven through our yard across the street. And on top of that, with having animals with no type of fencing in the yard, as we speak today, there's no fencing to contain the animals. We do not want the animals wandering in our yard. Chickens are very hard to contain, as well as I can only imagine goats. Also, the high level of noise and the smell from the animals. I'm also a recent transplant recipient, and I'm on immunosuppressants. We are concerned about the waste and the bacteria and how it will be handled from the animals. It could be a definite health risk for anyone in the area with a suppressed immune system. And also, once again, keeping the animals in the yard, how they will contain the animals with no fencing. I'm not sure about that. So.
Anyone else?
Yeah. My name's Philip Adams. I live at 56 Olin Drive. I live right next door. Not only my wife's allergic to bees, but she works nights. And all the noise from the chickens and the droppings from the chickens, the health from me also.
Can I have something too? Are you allowed to add anything? Because one of the things that nobody is bringing up, that this, we have hawks and coyotes down in this neighborhood excessively that we see here at night, seen during the day sometimes. I grew up in the country. Nothing is more appetizing to a coyote than a chicken house, you know, chickens and that. So that's going to be another issue that we'll see that happen. It's like increasing the food supply for the wildlife that's down there already.
Anyone else? You get the petitions will mail into us.
Yes.
I just kind of want to, I live, Clint's on here, lived there 22 years, I live next to Ellen, and just candy corner to the folks here that want the animals. My question was, what is their experience with these animals that they want? Because I was going to speak about the predators. I have a koi pond, and I can't keep a fish in it, because we have owls at night, we have hawks during the day, there's been coyotes, there's a family of hawks that live right in those trees right behind all of our houses. You can see them. It will be a massacre for these animals.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just one more thing. As part of the zoning committee, is there some sort of guidelines? Are there any sort of guidelines on how to make sure that the ground is being kept up and that the feces is not going to be draining into our waterways? Because there is a waterway between our homes, which leads into the creeks. So that would be another concern. I know, I'm sure there's no pesticides. It sounds like they're pretty organic. And I do not oppose to the concept of that, but not in our neighborhood. I think that that's something that should be rezoned somewhere else.
Anyone else? Yes.
My name's Steve Boomer. I live at 49 Oldham Drive, and I just want to come out. I'm opposed, as Lisa said. I don't have a problem with this concept, but not in our rural subdivision. That's not the place for it. Property values, predators, sanitation, all those issues come to mind, and it's a real concern.
Anyone else?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read the opposition letter that we received for the record, although I think these are here, I believe. So, So in response to this application, as a homeowner whose land belongs to bees applying for the request for goats, chickens, and bees, we are opposed to this for the following reasons. Allowing this permit to go through will lower our property values. Our property is taxed at a subdivision rate, not a farmland rate. Our ground adjoins theirs, and we have a smaller bean that collects runoff from your property. We're already seeing more erosion each year. Our concern is that fecal matter from animals they're requesting will collect into it. Their land is less than an acre based on a hill, making conditions unsuitable for these animals. In review of our three guidelines, it states that only three domestic animals are allowed, and they have three dogs already. There's already an issue of maintenance of the property, and I feel this will just add to the already unkempt appearance.
Board, any questions? Other questions? If not,
hey, I got a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Has there been any violations or on this property? Okay, well, I have a question. I'm looking at somebody's photographs, and the second one down on the left, is that a mattress on their property just sitting out in the driveway? I mean, I'm just looking at it. I don't.
We have not received any complaints on the property name. We're complaint driven, so until we receive complaints, we won't.
Well, I'm just asking because it looks like.
Excuse me. I personally tried to file a complaint because of the fact I'm not opposed to gardening. Believe me, we garden. We have flowers. We have a big yard. We keep it maintained. However, when you set up gardening in your front yard, you would anticipate that it would be kept up to a certain standard. We had rotting vegetables. There was an odor when you walked your animals past the property because things are just not, they're not kept up to this point. And I tried to talk to somebody and say, you know, what do you do when you have somebody that sets a garden up in your front yard? This property meets where everyone pulls into our, where we live. It's a cute house, and if it, you know, was properly maintained, why don't they move their gardening to the back if that's what they want to do? All I'm trying to say is that what we've seen demonstrated to date doesn't show that it would get any better by adding farm animals. We're not set up in an area where there's parking. If you wanted to, say, sell eggs or sell honey or plants or whatever the case may be. We're not set up for that there. They don't even park in their own driveway. Where would people park that came there to do any kind of business? Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, either talk real loud or come to a microphone somewhere.
In total agreement with the lady that has just spoken in the front yard garden. I'm sorry to say that this last season, it started dying off in October. It was never taken out until at least March or April. Rotting fruit, rotting vines, all that kind of stuff that goes with it. And that was the first appearance into our subdivision that could take the value of my hometown. And at 80 years old, I don't want to see that happen. It's nothing against them growing vegetables. It should be in the backyard, as we have, to that effect. But the garden didn't come down until at least March with nothing but dying vines and dying vegetables.
I'd like to add one more thing, and then I'll stop. This is not a garden like what you and I would think of being. This is a garden that they're using hobnail fencing, which rusts and is big, to hold everything in place. So when you pull into our subdivision, all you're seeing is these great big wire wrapped around hobnails, rusted cages, and arches and in walls, and that. And it really was a cute house at one point when we all, you know, before this happened. But now when you pull in, it really is a nice art. It does devalue our subdivision. And it's got to be a safety hazard, too. I mean, if you got kids or something, you know, it just is, it's not. It's a mess.
No further comments. Hearing Z-2200.
The idea of bees being on the property was simply to help with further pollination, with further fruit-bearing plants, and further flowering plants to allow for better beautification of the area.
We just wanted to ask permission.
We were simply just asking permission. We honestly had no idea if we came out here tonight, if we had opposition or truly just a great opportunity.
And would you agree that probably more than I would maybe granting some farmland for that experiment, or that maybe a farming project as opposed to a residential neighborhood?
Absolutely.
No further comments. Hearing Z-22-0029 is closed. Our next case is Z-22-0030, a petition of Nick Fry, owner of record, requesting a special use permit as per 93.023 Section D, Item 20 of the Madison County Co-Ordinance in order to place a mobile home on site for the occupancy of Nick Fry and family for a period not to exceed 5 years. This is located in A Agricultural District in Marine Township at 10115 Lower Marine Road, Marine, Illinois, County Board District Number 4. Published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on May 9, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would applicant please present their case?
Good
shot by in the mobile home, or the 3-acre mobile home across the street from my property on the Lower Ring Road, but they wanted like $275 for it, and it's a 1988 mobile home, so I just looked at mobile homes. And the reason I wanted to move my family out there is because I work 18-20 hour days, and I live right now all the way on the other side of Bogie. It takes me 45 minutes to get home, so another hour and a half I don't ever get to see my kids. So when they're out there with me, they can work with me a little more, and that's about it. I don't plan on staying out there past 5 years ever. Like, I'm probably just moving back, but I'm kind of, once I get my two warehouses split up, so that's kind of my goal, so I can see my kids more.
Any questions or opposition? Yeah.
Are there ever allowed any 1-year zoning permits at all? Just 5.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have 2 letters of opposition that we received today. The first one says, it's my understanding that Mr. Fry wants to put a trailer on his property to live in. He wants to change the zoning to allow this. There are several locations now that have a zoning of commercial status in the area, including our location. I feel that the allowing a trailer for home living would impede and discourage the future development of the intended intent for future commercial developments at this location. You're going to have businesses operating in the area with mobile trailers also in the area. How many mobile home trailers will we have in 2 years? Because of these concerns, I'm opposed to the request of the special use permit. Thank you, William Flack. And I just want to inject here for the record that it's not changing the zoning. Just so we're clear on that. Okay, and then the next one. This is Wayne Mage, adjoining property owner to Nick Fry. I called last week, got information from you on the zoning rules for this request. I cannot attend the hearing in person, but want to express my rejection of allowing a residence next to a commercial area. There is activity all hours of the day and sometimes weekends. Been here 28 years without any complaints and wish to keep it that way. Sooner or later, a residence will dislike something and the trouble begins. Thank you. I also want to interject here that it is not agricultural. He could put a home on the property without having to go through any kind of special hearing for it.
Right, yeah.
And only one mobile home would be allowed on the property.
Board, any questions? If not, file Z22-00. 30 is hereby closed. Next is file Z22-0032, petition of Mark and Donna Sanders, owners of record, requesting a variance as per 93.025, section D, item 4 of the Madison County Zoning Ordinance, in order to construct an attached garage addition that will be 2 feet from the east property line instead of the required 10 feet. This is located in an R3 single-family residential district in Jarvis Township at 8411 Steelcrest Lane, Troy, Illinois, in County Board District Number 2. Published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on May 9, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would applicant please step forward? Annie?
That's me. We're just wanting to add a garage on because we have 3 vehicles and we'd like to be able to have the vehicle in the garage. And right now we have a 2-car garage and we just want to add a single-car garage on that side. And with the 10-foot section that we need, the garage would only be 7-foot wide. And so that's why we got a letter from our neighbors, and they're fine with us building only 2 foot off the property line. And it's not going to be like a thing like you see in a trailer park, one of those things. We're actually going to have like a garage built. It'll be lumber, and it's not going to be like a lean-to or anything like that. It will be a garage with a we haven't decided yet if we're going to put a garage door on it or just do the roof. We're going to have the roof built like the house, and then I have a side on it, and then we haven't decided if we're doing that. I have a bid from the man that's going to build it the way he has it, is to have a garage door in the front and then also one in the back, because our gate, our double gate, is right there toward to get the backyard. And so that way we could pull straight through if we had to get into our backyard. And if we do put the garage on the front, we already talked to the brick company. We're going to have, like the garage is there, we'll have brick on both sides of the garage door in the front. And then the white that's across the top of our other garage door, that's what will be across the top of that other garage that we want to have on.
Board, any questions?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Number one, I've seen a transformer up there. Do you have an easement running down your sideline? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay, because you can find out from the plats if there's an easement there. You have to move a foot from the structure in that easement. So you might want to look that before you, you know, making plans to buy something. And then number two, do you know how much your overhang or your roof is going to be? Because you only have 2 feet on the side and your roof overhang is, let's say, a foot, foot and a half. It just makes it really hard for the maintenance to take care of that side of the garage. Like, what if your neighbor put their fence up on the property line, how would you ever maintain that side of the garage?
There would be 2 foot section for me to get on that side of the garage.
It would just be a gutters on across there, sorry. It'll just be a gutter going across there, you know, so we got to clean out the gutters or something, just like a ladder across it. There's ample room to get in there and do that. And there won't be any long beams hanging over the side of the garage or anything like that.
I actually have a picture from the guy that's going to build it. I don't know if you want to look at that or not, because I don't know if he's sent one with my paperwork or not.
Well, that's okay. I'm just saying, go for your own benefit. Because if your neighbor is okay with it now and moves out, and you get a neighbor that you have issues with, and you build the fence, and then something happens and you can't get to your, garage, that's all. Just wire beware, that's all. Mm-hmm. Just because it's going to be tight.
Yeah. Right now, they just have that rock driveway there, like I said, but like you said, those people might move, but we would still have 2 foot to where we can get up. And right now we have that letter leaf guard and then all of our gutters, so we could probably just call them out and have them put that in the gutters that are going to go in the garage also.
That's fine. And then the only other thing I recommend is you check the plat. Make certain you don't have utilities that run down the side.
We'll talk to our contractor about that.
Who do I find that out from?
Well, you can get a copy of your subdivision plat at the county courthouse, or that's who I would. That's where we go. It's a big topic on the plat, the subdivision plat that shows your lot.
Okay, we'll show
you any easements there.
Okay.
Any other?
I have a question. You said the garage will have a rear exit?
Yes.
I do have it doesn't appear to be a lot of space in between your property and the other. So, have you just considered a thought maybe a large one-car garage that maybe runs a little deeper to leave more room on the other side? Can you take a close look at that?
The thing is, to get in, we've tried, right now before we had one built, how far we'd have to put the concrete over to be able to make that swing to get in there. And we've already had to go to a bigger garage door because it wasn't going to work at having the 8-foot garage door. We have to go probably to the 16-foot garage door just to give us room to where we can swing around the corner to get up in there.
And is the garage, is it a attached garage built into your home, or is it going to be sort of?
It'll set back 1 foot. I actually have a picture of my house here.
So will it be built onto the house? So
yes.
Will they share out your house so you can maybe go in from the garage? Or
there'll be a doorway yet.
I think he's going to, in between those two windows, he said he would cut my brick out there and make a doorway where we could just go into the house through the garage that way.
Board, any other questions? Any other questions? If not, hearing Z22-0032 is closed. The next file is Z22-0033, petition of James Radcliffe, owner of record with Patricia Radcliffe, requesting a variance as per 93.051 section A, item 3, subsection C of the Madison County Zoning Ordinance in order to construct an accessory structure in the front yard setback area. This is located in an R1 single family residential district in Pine Oak Township at 2635 Staunton Road, Troy, Illinois, County Board District number 24. Published in the Evansville Intelligencer on May 9, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file staff report in Madison County Court of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would applicant please step forward?
Yes, my name is Jim Radcliffe. I live on 2635 Staunton Road. I want to put a standalone garage on the right side of my driveway. When you pull into the driveway and then you would turn right into the garage, it's really the only place I can put it on my yard, because if I go even with the front of my garage, I would run into the chance of getting into my well water lines, and I would only be about 6 foot from my well itself. Putting it where I am now, I am about 15 foot from the well, and I'm still 75 foot from the center of the road, off of Stock Road. I still would be 37 feet from my neighbor's house also, so I'm within all the variances as far as closeness to neighbor's properties, closeness to a road, and that sort of thing. I thought I was good with this until I went to get my permit, and they told me I was R1 instead of agricultural. The reason I'm R1 is because we're in a subdivision. I've already talked to my neighbors. I'm okay with the subdivision bylaws by size and by aesthetics. I'm okay with that. It's just the R1 instead of the agricultural designation that I have is why I'm asking for the variance.
Board, any questions? Any questions from the audience? If not, Z22-0033 is hereby closed. Our next is Z22-0034, petition of Denali Task, owner of record with Joey Muscala, requesting a special use permit as per 93.025 section G, item 9 of the Madison County Zoning Ordinance in order to place a mobile home on site for the occupants of Denali Task and family for a period not to exceed 5 years. This is located in an R3 single family residential district in Chateau Township at 1930 Roberta Avenue, Granite City, Illinois, County Board District number 21. Published in the Edwardsville Intelligencer on May 9, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file staff report and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would applicant please address the board?
Hi, my name is Danielle. I'm here to ask permission to bring my manufactured home to 1930 Roberta. It's currently a vacant lot. A nuisance to the subdivision since the house burned down many moons ago. I also need this property for medical reasons. My father, who lives across the street, is terminally ill. I cannot continue to live a life in Granite City and be his caretaker and keep my property in Alton. I was able to sell that property in order to be a permanent resident of Granite City. I know there's complaints of it being a mobile home. Specifically, it's not a mobile home. It's a manufactured home. So all of the same building materials as if you were to build a stick build. Help me, don't hurt me. I'm here to give back to the community and bring the property values up, not down. Furthermore, there are no other open lots within Sunnyvale Acres for anybody else to do the same application. I feel like I should be grandfathered in. My grandparents built this subdivision in the early 60s. I'm certainly not going to tarnish the neighborhood. It's my home. So, give me your permission.
I have a question. You said it's a manufactured home. You said it's stick-built. Is it not a modular home?
It is not. It's specifically labeled a manufactured home, which is all the same materials as a stick-built. I'm getting all the custom finishes.
But the zoning requirements are different between manufactured and modular. Did you have the opportunity to buy a modular?
Madison County considers this a mobile home.
It's a modular home?
This is a mobile home. It's a manufactured home. Madison County considers it a mobile home. That's why it needs such.
Yeah, could you not get a modular?
No, ma'am. This is the only one and only. I'm buying it off the lot. The other one that I wanted was $240,000, and it was like 10 months out. The one that I'm purchasing is going to also be a $200,000 investment that I'm bringing to this property. We're not talking about minimal money. It's an investment I'm not going to neglect.
You'd be putting a foundation under?
No, ma'am. That is not necessary, not a full-blown foundation. Considering the water table in Granite City, it's unnecessary doing the pillars and then obviously covering it to be site worthy.
Okay. Board, any other questions? Okay. Any other questions? That's what I'm asking. Does anyone have any questions? In the audience?
I'm sorry, I have a question. This isn't a subdivision. Are there no restrictions to the type of buildings that it needs to be?
No, ma'am, there is no HOA. So it's free-for-all. So hopefully people realize that I'm not bringing the property down or the subdivision down.
Other comments from the public?
I have a question as well, too. I don't know what justify, like, after 5 years have gone by, like, it says not to exceed 5 years. What happens beyond 5 years?
Usually, if it's a current homeowner, that they can get it administratively renewed for another 5 years. Okay. If any change in ownership, or if there's a just right now, they've got to come back and reapply for special use permit. So it's technically 5 years, but if the homeowner stays there and purely maintains the property, then they're usually administratively approved for another 5 years, unless it's a change of ownership.
I was also just, this subdivision is predominantly all brick homes. There are no existing modular homes or mobile homes inside this neighborhood. Outside this neighborhood, within a 1 mile radius, there are at least three available locations that are set up and designed for mobile modular homes. The last thing I want is for the neighborhood that I live in, my family lives in, I also have two young kids, to turn into something outside of your normal, safe neighborhood. I don't know exactly who is buying this property and putting this modular home on there, but there's been an increased amount of traffic down my road. I don't know if these individuals are, this traffic is associated with people staying at this gentleman's house, or what the exact situation is, but roughly a year ago I had a situation where something happened at this individual's parents' house. The police were called. I had police officers chasing an individual down my street towards my house. They jumped over the fence between my house and my neighbor's house, hit in the backyard, jumped over the back fence of my neighbor's property, continued to run from the police until the point that they finally, the police officers caught up with them, takes this individual, put him in handcuffs, and carted him away. I never heard anything else on it. I've never seen anything else like that in the area, and it just brings up concern that there will be additional unwanted attention or problems within four doors of my home.
Would you like me to reply?
Yes.
What was your name?
My name is Jerry Lynn. I live approximately three doors to the south of the
Any other comments? All right. Come down to a mic if you would, please.
Hello. My name is Jesse Keller, and I live next door to the person that just spoke.
Yeah, speak in right with the mic.
And I've lived there all my life, and there's really no room to even get a trailer down that street, let alone in that lot. And we do have a lot of water issues out there, and every house out there, I believe there's 38 of them. 32 of them are all brick ranch style houses, and the other four or five are wooden houses. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Any other person wishing to speak? Board?
I just had a question. How long have you owned that lot?
Roughly about a year.
About a year, yes, ma'am.
At this time, we have some statements that were sent to us.
Sorry, Ma, I'll be reading the email. Okay. I would like to vote against the petition for ZBA file number 220034. I respectfully request my identity to remain anonymous for fear of retaliation against this vote. My understanding of the petition is the petitioner is requesting to place a mobile home on the lot in 1930 Roberta Avenue. In addition to the mobile home, I was made aware a three-car garage will be built behind the mobile home. I fear even though this is a five-year occupancy request, I don't feel the 5 years will be the end of this. Statistically, home values decline when modular homes are placed. With the construction that will be taking place on 270, I feel any attempt to sell will be impossible, let alone impractical. These changes will drastically affect home values and the neighborhood. Thank you for taking my thoughts into consideration. The next one. I'm emailing on behalf of a posted notice on the property next door to me. My property, 1932 Roberta Avenue, is adjoining to a property that I would like to put a mobile home on. I'm completely against putting a mobile home on this property. This will depreciate our property values in the neighborhood. I do not want a mobile home sitting next to my house. I've put in a lot of work to make my house look nice. I will try again at the hearing if I get out of work. The next one. Dear board members, Shoto Township would like to object the request for a special use permit as per 93025. We feel that there is no place for a mobile home in an area where there is brick and frame homes. There are no other mobile homes in this area. Thank you, Eddie Lee, Supervisor Shoto Township. And the last one. To my concern, I am very close to allowing a mobile home being placed on the property at 1830 Roberta Avenue, Granite City, Illinois. As homeowners, we can protect our homes. When I built my home, I was told about a number of requirements in our area and a detailed permit dwellings. When I received the notice for this special building permit for my mobile home in our subdivision, I was greatly concerned and disappointed. I cannot see how this can help my home or my neighborhood's housing value. Within a mile of this property, there are at least three mobile home courts that are accepting new trailers and tenants. This permit is specifically for a mobile home and limited to 5 years. Therefore, this would not allow for a permanent dwelling. Thank you, Jeanette Dimitro.
Anyone in the audience wishing to speak at this time? Board, any questions? Hearing Z22-0034 is hereby closed. Sorry, did you?
Every once in a while, I just would like an opportunity to
reply.
Right,
yeah. Please speak right into the mic.
Very good.
I'm just going over all the things that were said just in the past few minutes. Because I live in a manufactured home, I'm going to be derelict and bring the neighborhood down. I'm confused. I left a $370,000 property to be able to come to Granite and take care of my responsibilities. It's not going to end in 5 years. No, I plan to live there the rest of my life. We founded that neighborhood. Like, why would I trash it? That seems so silly to me. I'm going to leave a $370,000 home to come to Granite and receive flack for trying to take care of my responsibilities as a daughter. I have a family as well. I have 4 children. So, yes, there will be an increased traffic, but we're also at a dead end. And I wouldn't allow anything to happen disrespectfully to my home or anyone else around me. I think it's just foul to even think it or say it out loud, make assumptions about me. It's not what society is supposed to be like.
The problem is that mobile homes have become there's a bad taste in so many people's minds about mobile homes. This isn't directed at you personally, I'm sure.
I
respect the fact, I took care of my parents, I respect the fact that you're being responsible for that. But for $200,000, honestly, you could build a small home and have an investment. A mobile home investment is really not a very good investment. So I'm just saying that.
So my personal preferences offend you?
No, it does not offend me. I'm pro mobile homes, 100%. I really am. I vote almost every time for mobile homes. But in this situation, when the subdivision is 99% completed, it just makes it difficult for people to accept that. When you're spending that kind of money as an investment, a regular home could be built, I think, pretty close to that. And, you know, have a good investment for the future for yourself also. That's just my comment.
I appreciate the feedback for sure. It was definitely looked into. Turnaround time is not ideal. Like I said, I'm a mother and a full-time caretaker. So doing a house from scratch is kind of ideal, unfortunately, with the medical responsibilities that we're forced up against. And once again, there are no empty lots available left in the subdivision. There is zero opportunity for anybody else to come in and do what I do. I'm looking for an exception to help me take care of my responsibilities.
Board, any other questions? If not, hearings E20.
I'm glad you brought that up because that escaped me. Yes, the Mount Vernon Dream Homes, they have been on scene, they've done all the inspections, and they have zero issue putting this home into my lot. Zero issues.
And how will you install the driveway again?
The township installs the culverts, and I'm going to do rock and concrete. So, once again, a property value increase for everyone around me, you know, making things presentable the way I find acceptable. But a U-shaped driveway is what my intention is in the end.
How did you use the concrete? What way would the concrete be?
In front of the house, like a U-shape. So the trees that are on scene now, I want to preserve them because they're so old. So instead of cutting those trees down, entering the property this way, or shooting around and coming back out,
but you haven't considered a concrete foundation.
I did, yeah. I thought that was the way to go. In my mind, I thought a concrete slab, why not? Make it more secure, presentable. But it's not ideal for the location because of the water table.
It'll be a block foundation.
Blocks?
Yes, mm-hmm. Sir.
So it'll be stone around the bottom. I'm aware that a majority are brick homes, absolutely. But there are homes within that subdivision that are not all brick either. They're siding just like this home. So I'm confused on the finishes. The finishes are the same exact as if I built a home from the ground up. So why is this the glitch in your mind of like this is a huge issue or I'm going to neglect the property because it's a mobile home? Don't pass judgment. I mean, if you would like to pass judgment, look at my track record on what I've done with my previous properties.
Well, when I'm separating mobile home with just a house, so it's not when I factor it in, I don't consider
your asset. I agree 100%. But now that you have the facts in front of you, it's a $200,000 investment for me, costing me $200,000 to bring this to that lot. So anybody who looks at my property and thinks that I'm tarnishing theirs, it's hard for me to put my mind around it because my value exceeds theirs. I'm not going to defunct on my property or my investment. I have to leave something for my children. I'm not going to neglect.
You're welcome.
Board, any other questions? If not, Z22-0037 is hereby closed. Next is file Z22-0035, petition of Colby Shrimp, owner, applicant on behalf of Fry Properties of Highland LLC, owner of record, requesting a special use permit as 93.035, section D, item 1 of the Madison County Zoning Ordinance in order to construct a helicopter hangar and heliport on site for the storage of St. Joseph's Hospital's helicopter. This is located in an M2 general manufacturing district in St. Jacob Township along Ellis Road, St. Jacob, Illinois, County Board District Number 4. Published in Edwardsville Intelligencer on May 9, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file staff report and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would applicant please address the board?
Hello, Colby Sharp with Pride Properties. So basically, I'm just requesting a special use permit, like you had said, to construct a helicopter hangar for the heliport site for the storage of St. Joseph's Hospital. The helicopter would just be stored there during inclement weather and for routine maintenance services.
Any member of the public wishing to speak at this time? Board members, any? Okay. Please come down to a mic, would you please?
To the east, and within a mile there is an airport, so there's no reason in the world why would you want to construct a helicopter pad when there is an airport that the FFA has already taken care of, that they wouldn't have to go get permission from the FFA to build that helicopter pad there. And if it's just for maintenance, what about the fuel? Has any EPA studies been done because of the runoff that is with that field? If just in case there's an accidental spill, how would that be handled? And besides the noise, and I'm sorry if it's me, if you look at it, it's very close to the railroad tracks, and those railroad tracks are used very, very heavily. That same thing. I think I did. You don't have any questions for me, right? No. Thank you.
Sorry. My name is Jim Luna. I'm sorry, my knees are bad.
I'm sorry.
We live actually in St. Jacob. My parents live on the property right east of that where the helicopter's going to be going over when it comes in and takes off. But being in St. Jacob, we hear that helicopter go over at least 3 to 5 times a week already, and it's not even anywhere. It's in St. Joe's Hospital in Highland. So how much more, with that being on there, are we going to hear it and have to listen to it? And like my wife said, airport's a mile, mile and a half away. There's another airport in Highland. There's places they could put it where it wouldn't bother my parents or the subdivision to the south of it. That's all I have.
Anyone else? Board? Ready?
Yeah. What size helicopter is it?
So I'll skip to that part. I am Drew Nurnburn. I am the representative of Air Methods. We're the ones that contract with the HSHS Rescue Flight. So I'm here to answer some of the kind of air stuff. One, it's a Bell 407 helicopter. It's a single-engine helicopter. It carries a pilot, a nurse, and a paramedic. We sit on the pad there at Highland, at St. Joseph's Highland. Since we started that base, we've constantly repositioned to Cahokia, or to St. Louis Downtown Airport. That flight and drive time is not good for in-service rates and being there for our community, so we wanted to have less of time to get to the maintenance and inclement weather parking facility. So that's why we're here. As for the local airports, those are all restricted airports. They're all privately owned. One's a subdivision, and the other, Highlands, is a flight airport. Both of those are closed off to commercial use. We're not options. Also look at Belleville and Mid-American, and there's no options there. As for the noise, we're a helicopter. We make noise. That's a big fan. One reason we chose this location was because of, one, it's zoning. Two, there's already a 24-hour tow service that's going to be sitting right next to us. That's a heavy tow service with large semi-trucks, and it does sit right next to the railroad track where the train's already going through. Our pilots also, I am a pilot. My background's a pilot, still a licensed pilot. We fly neighborly. We try to fly as best as we can, weather permitting, not over homes. For the egress and ingress of this site, we plan on intending sticking over US 40 and the railroad tracks in order to keep the noise corridor kind of in its. We don't like flying over homes, but that's what we intend to do to reduce noise into this facility. And then I think there's also something about fuel. We're not going to keep fuel on site. We refuel either in our downtown heliport and fly back to Highland or from whichever cargo direction we come and then park.
Yes, so this helicopter's not going to be there all the time.
No, not at all.
Just under certain conditions.
Yeah, yes. So we don't let it sit outside in things in inclement weather. I mean, it's a $2 million helicopter. We don't want to get hailed on. Iced up, so we'll move it for things like that. And then we do routine maintenance on the pad at Highland, where the mechanic just has to open certain things, look over stuff. But if we need to take anything apart, we will not do it on the pad at Highland. We'll move it to a sheltered facility, so Highland's hospital can still utilize that pad. So this will not be a 24/7 operation. Will not be based there.
Sir, do you have a...
Yes, I do.
Speak into the mic, would you please?
Yes, I do have. Does that work now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I have been told that it will be a 24/7 operation. Once it's approved by the board, they can do whatever they want to do. Now, I hear that helicopter come over. It'll wake me up sometimes tonight. But I guess, to Highland or wherever. And I just don't think that this is a good thing for us. And there's plenty of other places they can put it. It's the whole community. I know that you didn't get any comments there, really, at letters, but it's been kept pretty quiet. And I've got letters out to most of the people, but it didn't seem like that they was interested. But once this is, goes in, they're going to be interested. It's going to be terrible. Now, I'm fixing to move from there, but my family's going to still be there. So just for their peace, I'd like to see it not approved. That's all I have.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Board, any more questions?
This is not going to be a launch location
to take a patient flight. We are based at the hospital. We're going to sit on the hospital pad. That's where our crew quarters are at. That's where everyone's stationed at. This place is merely to put the helicopter up for inclement weather and maintenance.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
And before you start construction on, will you have approval from the FAA?
We will not, because the FAA and IDOT do the airspace. I have a letter, I don't know if you guys have it, from April 27th from IDOT. They came out that time. So IDOT and the FAA deal with the air. They honestly, the aviation section of IDOT and the FAA deal with the air. They could care less of what goes on here. So the FAA, there's talking with IDOT, they see no issues with it. And I even have it here that the IDOT said that from the inspection, it appears the location selected for the landing area will meet the minimum safety standards by the state of Illinois and the FAA. Now, the state of Illinois is good with it. We're still waiting on the FAA, but that's for airspace, and that's, we are more than sure that it's going to get approved. There's nothing around there, even that small airport to the north, we're going to be affected for intermittent helicopter operations.
So they won't be concerned about the electrical wires kind of running?
So what IDOT does is we look at those wires, and one, we make our pilots aware of it, and two, what we're going to do is request to put marker balls, those orange basketballs, reflective things, on there.
Thank
you.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I just got one more thing. I want to stand up so I can see him. Please understand, I appreciate what you're doing. I truly do. Okay. My question, my thoughts are, you said that you try to avoid subdivisions when you're flying back over. There's fields everywhere around there. So even if you stay on Route 40, you're still going to be flying over subdivisions. And where I live right now, which I am hoping in the near future, that's a property we're going to be living at. You're still flying over my house. But because you're flying over my house, there's still fields all around. So in your mind, it's all open fields. You don't see that you're flying over my house to get to the open field. I'm not trying to be argumentative with you. I promise you I'm not. Because someday I may need that emergency camera. And I want it there. I just don't think that's the best fit. Especially that call, and I know the state of Illinois doesn't have a problem with it. The state of Illinois that's something different. But I don't know. I'm just letting you know. Have you really exhausted all of your options?
We believe we have, even to include building on the hospital property. That would be the most ideal. But
they're not going to let you do that.
Hospital will not let us do that. We've actually worked on that since. Since that base opened.
Really? Wow. Okay, I'm going to sit down.
We have a location somewhat like this in Effingham, in the industrial park. It's actually right next to the Effingham County Early Learning Center. And it works pretty well.
If I might say something too, this is already a 20-acre, basically, commercial site that we have. You know, we're positioning this thing up in the northwest corner where it's, you know, closest to the railroad tracks, nothing directly to the east of it until the town of St. Jacob. I understand there is a residence to the southeast of that, but nothing directly to the east.
Yes.
It's my understanding that once you guys approve this, and that opens the door to 24-hour shift and work shifts. They're on duty 24 hours. That's going to be very, very nice in the middle of the night, especially if you've got a young baby in bed.
And I'll address that. I mean, could we move the helicopter at night? Yes, we do. Storms come at night. Ice storms come at night. we do our best to try to put the helicopter up earlier than later.
Board, have any questions? Any other questions? Okay. Z22-0035 is hereby closed. Next and final is Z22-0037, petition of Andrew Jones, Jr., applicant on behalf of Southwestern Electric Cooperative, Incorporated, owner of record, requesting a zoning map amendment to rezone the 0.5-acre tract from A Agricultural District to PD Planned Development District in order to operate a Bitcoin mining facility utilizing power from the existing electrical substation on site. This is located in Marine Township at 4772 State Route 4, Alhambra, Illinois, County Board District Number 4. Published in the Edwards Little Intelligencer on May 9, 2022. Let the record show that the zoning file, staff report, and Madison County Code of Ordinances are submitted for the record. Would applicant please address the board?
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Ian Cujanal. I'm here representing Southwestern Electric. And what we're doing in that particular location and at other locations, are presenting an opportunity to bring in Bitcoin mining. And there's a question the girl asked earlier, what is Bitcoin mining to some degree without being technical with cryptocurrency and things of that nature. The mining is simply the calculations being done by computers in order to justify the financial transactions. All of those containers will contain up to 360 computers, high processing speeds, things of that nature, and so they need to be relatively close so they have quality, premium quality power and reliable power so that they can operate at their optimal level. And in order to do so, we thought it would be more efficient, more effective to locate at our substations. And again, what those Bitcoin mining containers do, they have a high power factor of about 100%. So they're running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And one thing that that will do with our work, just talking personally about Southwest Electric, and recently we had announced publicly that we've made some reduction in some of our rates, changing rates, having a structure like that, and the subsequent employment opportunities that come from it with maintenance and things of that nature, it will certainly help us in lowering our rates for our members and customers. Probably a lot of people in here are members of Southwest Electric, and we certainly pass those cost savings on. But that's the reason we're located at a substation, because it's near. There's not a lot of cost to get the power to it, because it's right there on our site, and it just provides additional power quality throughout the whole system.
Who is it actually owns this?
This will be owned by Big Ready for your city and the city. The name of the company is Big Speed Trip. That's the name
and they're
company.
Out of where?
They're, believe it or not, the gentleman's out of St. Jacob, Illinois.
St. Jacob.
St. Jacob, and he has mining facilities in Minnesota, in Tennessee, where the name is quite interesting. But his name is Michael Carter, and he and I do all of our business development, and we've been looking into this opportunity. And you look at the states that provide Bitcoin mining, I'm just expanding on what you were inquiring about earlier. Tennessee, Texas has some of the lower rates. With us being a cooperative, we can adjust our rates a little bit over our margin in order to accommodate certain types of things. So part of our economic development for us and community development for us is that if it provides certain numbers of jobs and helps the community to a large degree, we'll look at lowering our rates for that particular entity to be able to justify it. And they met that criteria. We think it's an outstanding opportunity for the state of Illinois. We're one of the first electric utilities that are implemented. We do have another gentleman now in Vandalia who has one up on our line as well, Jeff. And this company wants to do it as well. He has a special preference to want to do it in St. David. We initially tried to do it somewhere else, but we couldn't get it done. But we're looking at having that opportunity to expand in case something else comes up, others are interested. Because it does, all it does is help the community.
How many jobs does it produce? Because basically nothing, it operates itself, correct?
Yes, but the jobs are directly located for protective maintenance.
Okay.
So if you have to shut down, if you're going with our rate, adjusting for those guys, you have to be on time to demonstrate interruptible rate. So we may have to tell them to step down real quick and they can do so. But they have a location in St. Jacob for their maintenance, building out things for the inside of the compartments to make sure it's properly cool. So they'll be hiring people doing those types of things. They'll be more, so get them out. something to develop certain things on the island to make it more.
What does it cost to put this in?
What does it cost? I'm not sure what their costs are, and they're eating all the costs of putting this in. What we're doing is
who's eating the cost?
It's the company.
The company itself?
The company itself is it, yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Since you have to have that, I mean, I understand the mining of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, but how much power are you guys going to consume? Is it going to affect the outlying areas?
No. As a matter of fact, without going into great detail, when you have 100% power factor, where it's constantly using power, we have better contracts with BP. We currently have our power contract with long-term power. They give us a better rate, and we can build our infrastructure up to meet those type of qualifications, which makes our system more robust, because now we have to build out everything else to accommodate their load, which means that our transmission connections and everything else, we build those things up to accommodate. So it always doesn't provide power quality for the rest of our region.
And so if I heard you correctly, there's not going to be a lot of people staffing that, just IT people, basically.
And maintenance people.
I understand a lot of computer equipment and stuff.
Correct.
It's, so it's not going to really be a lot of
direct jobs, because the computer's like you're understanding. Not direct jobs connected with it, but at their maintenance locations, things that make sure they have on St. Jacob, at the gentleman's, right outside the gentleman's location, all they build a barn that they do all of their manufacturing, bringing personnel, training, and ranking, and people who do that type of work. So, there's a lot of big people. They may only end up bringing in maybe 15 to 20 jobs, but that's 15 to 20 jobs.
How big is that building going to be?
No, it's not a building. It's a small container. It's 8 by 20, 8 by 40 container. So if you look at the site there, it'll be indistinguishable for most of the equipment that's out there. You would see some containers sitting there, and you wouldn't be able to distinguish that from the substation in and of itself.
So it just comes down to the big electrical box?
Yes.
I got you.
Okay.
Is there anything connected on risk to the environment?
Nothing. No risk to the environment whatsoever. No more than what's there at the substation. It's just utilizing the power. But we do have redundant systems where other substations provide power to those locations. So we can get them back up and running at a quick pace. Like we just had some heavy storm the other day, and we have redundant systems. And again, I can't emphasize enough. They're utilizing 100% power factor, which means it continues to run 24/7. That allows us to be able to justify bringing in the finances necessary to build all the rest of our equipment infrastructure that makes it more robust, and that means that we can do things that makes it power quality a lot better.
So are you going to be able to have the other power built up before they start coming in and consuming 100% of the power? Or is the public going to be drained of energy for a certain amount of time until this gets built up and running?
Great question. Absolutely great question. What we have now is enough. We have a robust system now, but we're looking at stepping up even more. And this is what helps us to step up even more. Because we have no issues now. We have the Maple Grove substation that just will be online here real soon. So we have a robust system throughout Madison County. And we're just trying to make it.
When you say robust, I don't quite understand. What is it, like a generator system or what?
No, robust means it's more than adequate. It's strong enough to make sure we have no power drain concerns, no power quality concerns, reliability concerns. We have a very strong, and I'll change the term from robust to a strong system.
So are the boxes going to be inside the fence around the substation?
Yes.
Okay.
No drawing, you see the four containers, rectangles there, and that's where we're located.
How long has that gentleman owned them? When did he start that business?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I know he had his Minnesota location up there for about maybe 5 years.
Okay.
But China now, without the one talking, that's my thing. Chris is the guy I talk all day. But what they're doing is that a lot of those opportunities with Bitcoin mining are coming back to the United States, because China's gotten rid of it because of their governmental system, things that actually they want control of everything that happens there. So they're trying to find a home here in the United States. That's why we open up our own talk to those guys. It's up to them, Jeff. And I was considering Illinois an option, an opportunity. So that it doesn't compromise our electrical system whatsoever. We have a strong system. This only makes it better. Because now we have to accommodate, we're going to make sure we have enough infrastructure strength to be able to serve not only them, but all of our commercial and residential customers.
So you're not going to put a little windmill on top of it?
Oh, no, we're not in that business.
So they're, are they going to help assist in building the more power structure for Southwestern Electric? I mean, how is that going to be without being cost to us?
Well, without getting technical with the power contracts, with the power contract that we have now, it depends on the power factor, how much power we're actually losing. Now, maybe there's not some trade secrets here, but residential customers, everyone, when you get home in the morning, there's no utilization of power until you come back home. There's a full rush turn on to have the power there. What you have with those guys, they'll bring in an infrastructure that runs 100% of the time, so now we can get through volume, lower rates, and lower cost of power, and we'll turn that money into building infrastructure.
I got one last question.
Yes, sir.
In the very last sentence here, on our last page, it says, in essence, Bitcoin mining is a clearinghouse for cryptocurrency and the need to locate the substation is based on significant electric consumption and the need for reliable and quality power. On significant electric consumption, can you elaborate a little more on that? Maybe you did, it's blown my
head. No problem. That's the 100% power factor I'm talking about, where they run 24 hours a day. That's high power factor in power rates on getting power, signing our contracts for power with our power suppliers is based on what our power factor is as a company. Right now we operate at about, if it's 100% achievable rate, we're probably operating at about 85%. This bumps us up. And so now when we do contracts for our power, we can ask for a lower price as far as the contract, our rate that we pass on to our customers. And so that way we get more money relative to the power contract. We don't have to pay as much for power contract.
Okay, I do have one last question.
Yes, sir.
I have limited knowledge of electricity. How many amps is that thing going to be pulling on average?
Now, you got to have that. I'll leave that to my engineering department.
I have to base everything on amps when I do
electricity. But it's significant. We're looking at, I'll tell you right now, we're contracted with them for about 5 megawatts.
Okay,
that's more than just about all those homes here in the Evansville area. So they're going to utilize that much power, but that helps out with the long run.
5 megawatts?
Yes.
Half acre. Yes, sir.
My name's Marty Landon. I'm here representing Bond Madison Water Company. So we own the property in the south.
You got a mic. Would you use it, please?
How do they anticipate accessing this property for construction purposes?
For the same way we go on the road. It's nothing really complicated. We just bring trailering those in and drop them off there.
So the only access you have to that property is through our property. That bottom left picture, someone standing on our property. That rock that you see in that picture is the property that is property owned by Bonavent.
Which one, the bottom, in the gray area?
Bottom left.
Well, everything within that particular drawing there is within our footprint.
I don't believe so.
Our engineer went out and measured and did everything. It's on our property.
So back in March, there was something started on this property. You can see where the grass is disturbed. Let me say, I'm not opposed to the rezoning. I'm not opposed to Southwestern having the opportunity to be involved in this. What I am opposed to, we showed up on our property one morning, as we do every morning, and there's trucks there. You can see the tracks in the yard. There's other tracks in more of our property. There's no way to get any equipment to that site without crossing on Madison property, unless you would take that existing fence down.
Here, Mark, this is assuming stop taking the fence down at the south end.
Correct.
But the access, the egress and regress, exiting down the line. The exit up there doesn't depend on the property there. And even if you have to tear down, that's a fence, and you put fencing on the side. These are just the drawings of what we submitted in order to show what they
are. I'm just simply asking how they plan on accessing that property.
That would still be the same.
I was in contact with an existing Southwestern Electric back in March, and they were pretty resistant to accessing that property, that portion of their property, through their existing property. They did not want to remove that fence at that time.
Oh, well, what I'm submitting to you right now is that removing a fence to accommodate this, that's all within the plan with us. So that's something that we certainly will do. The existing regress and egress, the existing gravel lot, I think we'll still be utilizing that to be able to have them to have access to it with their maintenance, things of that nature, as long as it does it, they don't do anything within the confines of the substation for possibility of someone being hurt with electrical assistance.
Again, I'm not opposed to Southwest. What I am opposed to is potentially people using our property to access that property and creating a liability for our company.
Well, we should have all proper signage up into the nature, and we have to do all proper signage to show that, and if people are doing what they're doing coming onto your property, then certainly I don't think it's our personnel doing that.
No, it's not your personnel. Yeah. It was not the gentleman from St. Jacob in March. It was someone different.
You
mentioned Jeff. I'm pretty certain it was that person. His contractors. He had hired for concrete pads. They showed up one day. They didn't do their due diligence. They didn't even call a Julie locate, as you're supposed to do, a minimum of 24 hours in advance. They just showed up and started digging on our property, accessing that property by our property.
By utilizing your property.
Correct. We cannot get a piece of equipment to that area without taking that fence down.
Well, I know the plans are to accommodate, so I'm assuming that from what I've heard from all talking about operations and engineering, is that we're going to do everything that's necessary to be able to fit them in, and to, it may come up to some degree, but we're going to take down fences, not just take down fences.
I understand that. I just wanted to make sure that that's what was going down.
Absolutely. I'll give you my car, and I guarantee that's exactly what we're going to do, because we knew that even if we're going in someone's backyard to do some tree trimming, things of that nature, we try to make everyone as old as possible.
That didn't happen in March. Like I said, that where that water standing in that bottom left hand picture, that was excavation that was done without proper due diligence.
Well, I tell you what, I'll give you my card and you call me because I haven't heard nothing about any of that stuff with our engineering operations.
Okay, yeah, let's
Southwestern Electric.
No.
I'm with Bond Madison Water Company. Bond Madison Water Company.
All right, we'll close the discussion. Board, any questions? Okay. Z22 days.
Let's close the discussion.
Oh, Okay, this, we're closing Z220037.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yes. Now, go ahead.
But this is Mike Monager. He had the first item on the podium, and he just ran in front of him just a few minutes late, so I'm going to let him address it as far as changing his property from a PD back to the business district. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, again, my name is Mike Monager. Sorry I'm late. Apparently, I missed my meeting. I'd like for you guys to talk about it again if you can.
That's number one.
Trying to rezone it back to what it was previously. I'm trying to sell it. I just want to open it up more for an opportunity to sell. Plus, I'm addressing some of the issues that they had when we tried to rezone it earlier.
There was no opposition.
I didn't know.
Yeah, there was no opposition.
Does anyone have any questions for me about?
Yeah, board have any questions, Mike? No.
Me.
Anybody else have any questions for anything? if not, we will call for roll call on starting this.
Well, thank you,
Mike. Is there any? We don't have any unfinished business. Okay, the new business. First one, Z22-0037, petition of Mike Meiniger. I'll make a motion. Call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Motion made and seconded. Roll call. Nicholas. George?
Approved.
Mary?
Yes.
Cedric?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
A motion approved. Next is Z22-0029, petition of Stephen Taylor and Catelyn Bryan. Call for a motion for or against. Motion to approve.
Motion.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Roll call. Nicholas.
No.
No. George.
No.
Mary.
No.
Cedric?
No.
Yeah, okay. The motion was...
Sharon.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sharon. I thought...
Sharon.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was... The motion was denied, right? Okay. Motion denied. Next is Z22-0030, petition of Nick Fry. Call for a motion. Motion moved, approved, and second. Roll call. Nicholas?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Cedric?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Motion approved. Next is petition 22-0032, petition of Mark and Donna Sanders. Call for a motion. Motion approved. Second?
I second.
Okay. Roll call. Nicholas Cohen?
Yes.
George Ellis?
Yes.
Mary Good?
Yes.
Cedric?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Approved. Next is petition ZZ2233, petition of James Radcliffe. Call for a motion.
I'm on.
Second?
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. Roll call. Nicholas Quinn.
Yes.
George.
Yes.
Mary.
Yes.
Cedric.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Motion approved. Excuse me. Next motion, C220034, petition of Danell Trask. Call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second. Is there a second? Motion made and second. Roll call. Nicholas.
Yes.
George. Mary.
George.
I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Mary?
No.
Sharon?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Yes. Cedric? Cedric?
Yes.
Motion approved. Z22-0035, petition of Colby Shrump and Fry Properties of Highland, LLC. Call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second. Have a second for a motion.
I'll second.
I'm sorry, huh?
I'll second.
Okay, motion made and seconded. Roll call. Nicholas Cohen.
Yes.
George.
Yes.
Mary.
Yes.
Cedric.
Yes.
And Sharon.
Yes.
Motion approved. Z22-0037, petition of Andrew Jones Jr. and Southwestern Electric Co-op, Inc. A call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made to approve it. Second. Roll call. Nicholas.
We're doing the
Bitcoin thing. We're on south on the last one, Southwest.
Right.
Huh?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Mary Good?
Yes.
Cedric?
Yes.
Sharon?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Motion approved. At this point, zoning coordinator report, we have one.
Well, I was going to say that it goes to the Building and Zoning Committee next Thursday, but everyone's gone.
They're very tired.
So that's it.
We're done. Motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Just us.
We are adjourned.
Who seconded that?
Oh. Who's going to second it?
Second it.
I was
second, gonna, second, second.
Okay. Motion made and seconded, and we are adjourned.
Okay, it's getting a little crazy after about an hour.
Yeah.